As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is up, everyone? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined, of course, by his buddy, the lawyer himself, David Ungar. And we are here welcoming you into another edition of the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. And Dave, back after a hiatus, the annual holiday vacation, you hit all of the theme parks, from what I understand. You hit some Knott's Berry Farm, hit some Disneyland. Did you do the Six Flags as well? Or was that not part of the trip?
I think that's coming up this coming weekend on Saturday.
That
I think we're
going
to go up to Six Flags. This is a lot easier for us to navigate on multiple fronts. But yeah, we did the Disney and we did Knott's Berry Farm. So 2 days at Disney, 1 day at Knott's Berry Farm. I got thoughts. I said I wanted to talk to you about it.
And that's the thing, is the good thing is we can have those thoughts because this is our show. Like, you know, PC Tutty is invited, but, you know, he's not here. Ray Cash is invited, but he's not here. So I actually want to talk about, wait, kids, sorry, we're going to do a little vacation talk. We have two topics that we're talking about in sports, and I'm sorry, one of them is sports entertainment. I am breaking my own rules. You can't not talk about John Cena's last match, particularly given sports franchises thanked the man. But before we get into any of that, let's start with our buddy Dave at Disney, because I, as a Disney World guy, and I don't know what your experience has been. I haven't done Christmas at Disney for a couple of years now, but Disney has created this monster, which is interesting with the amount of prices that are going up just across the board for even to go on a vacation to either Disney World or land. It's amazing to me that people are still finding the money to sink into these trips and going. And so the holidays at Disney World is intense. And I'll share this story. It was intense 4 or 5 years ago, back when my family and I would go. Like the Mrs. O'Dowd once at Epcot, the crowds were so bad and she has serious anxiety with crowds that she broke down, like in the middle of Epcot. We're in the World Showcase and there's just so many people. It was a crush of people that we had to stop, and then we left the park. Like we went back to the hotel because it was too much. And that's the thing, is more and more as you look at this, it's not only that there are more people showing up to these parks, but the guest behaving badly thing is out of control. And some of that is Disney's doing, and some of that is people being dicks. Like Disney's handling, and they're facing an interesting, I didn't put it in the bandwagon nerds conversation, but their board of directors, somebody on their board is demanding an independent review of their disability access services policy because of how bad it is. And Disney has been blocking it using, you know, a Trump era loophole that doesn't force them to do it. But, you know, that's just one of the myriads of problems that goes within having just volumes. People get, like, volumes upon volumes of people at these parks, at these holiday parties. Like, Disney is grossly over-allowing people to attend these parks. If you look at this, at the footage of these parks at the end of the day when they're doing the parades and the crush of folks, because this Disney magic narrative has gotten so out of whack that people think their child's life is ruined if they don't see a fucking parade. It's nuts to me. And so I'm interested in your experience and what you dealt with.
I think a big problem with Disneyland right now is that the dynamics of the park have changed really radically, at least since the pandemic. And I think part of it is like we used to use this program called RideMax, which was great because it was based off statistical crowd data and it could curate your itinerary for you based on statistical, you know, probability of crowd tracking and all that sort of stuff. And man, we used to use that to get in if we didn't get in like 20 rides in a day, it was a major disappointment. But RideMax earlier this year closed up shop, basically saying, look, we can't accurately predict what's going on there any longer because GD Plus is an issue. The reservation system creates these problems. You've got the standalone way to buy your way onto Rise of the Resistance and Radiator Springs. So they were basically like, we can't do this anymore. That should have been a big red flag. Now, we have found something since then. My son found a new app that really seems to take all that into consideration. We'll see how they do in the future. But I think part of the problem is when you go and you look at the crowd calendar and it's like telling you, hey, yeah, it's okay to go this weekend. And then you show up there. And when you actually see the crowd flow and it goes from like, hey, it's all right to, yup, it's packed. And you don't realize that heading into it. Now, granted, you know, my daughter was smart enough to say, well, you know, normally at this time of year, we go during the middle of the week. We don't typically go on a weekend. And there's a lot of truth to that. But like Florida, did they do it? They did away with reservations, didn't they?
For the most part, as an annual pass holder, I still have to make a park reservation to start the day. But after 2 o'clock, after 2 p.m., I can go to any park I want. And that's based on, and I have the only pass that's available and allowed for out-of-state residents. It is the IncrediPass, which means I have no blackout dates, but there are certain dates where park reservations like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, all full up. The day after Thanksgiving, all full up. Like all those days fill up so fast that it can be tough if you're not already planning. Like the second you know you're going on a trip as an annual pass holder, and you can figure out what days you want to go to a park, as soon as you can find those dates, it's just good to book them to be safe. So,
yeah.
Park reservations anymore.
Yeah. And that creates some real issues because, like, I will say this, I learned during this trip that park hopper is really the only way to go, at least until Pandora's built and until that new Avengers ride is built in DCA. It really, like, I was gonna text you. I did like Radiator Springs. I went over there, I think it was like Sunday night or Saturday night, and I just single ridered Radiator Springs. Didn't want to pay $23 to get on. And we won because we raced John Cena, because there was like for the first time ever, there was no car next to us. And we're all like looking, and there's like, it never happens. And I told other people in the car, like, I'm totally counting that as a win. And they're like, yep. So it's just the park hopper is the way to go, but because there's not enough to do over DCA at this time of year,
right.
But the reservation system funneled everybody over there like Saturday morning because of the candlelight processional, all the reservations at Disneyland to start at Disneyland were off. But that's where the park hopper, then you get this thing. It's like, if you're buying a park hopper, it doesn't stop everybody who's already at DCA from flooding over to Disneyland come 11 o'clock. And then it gets, you know, ridiculous. You know, you could still get stuff done at night and that sort of thing. My son was very disillusioned with the trip for the first time in his entire life because he's the biggest Disney fan of all. He's like, yeah, it just wasn't that much fun this time because it was just so unpredictable and you couldn't rely on anything that you normally relied on. And that's a problem. I will say,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Knott's Berry Farm, I was very impressed with. I had not been there since the 80s before I even moved to California. I went there as a kid and it is really, and you could tell this is a Cedar Fair park. It is not, I know it's all coming under the Six Flags umbrella, but there's a entirely different feel to Knott's Berry Farm than say Magic Mountain. I mean, everything's like clean. They're not, you know, they're not skimping on the details. The food is really top notch. And Knott's does this weird thing where they've got all these shops all over the place. I was telling people, it's like, well, they're all wearing these Knott's Berry Farm name tags, But there is no way these are not Sperry Farm employees. They've actually put their storefront at the park, which is brilliant, if you ask me. But I did ride Ghost Rider, Pat. It is very deserving of its reputation. It's the best wooden coaster, probably one of the best wooden coasters in America. And that thing is badass. My wife was like, "You actually went on that?" I'm like, "The first ride I went on, my back felt good at that point in time." So, fun ride. You would dig it.
Yeah, someday. There is talk, and I know it's a while away of 2027. Making a stop.
I gotta advise you of this though. I gotta put some pressure on the O'Dowd family here. Disneyland is doing a deal. It is a 3-day park hopper for $249. That is, I paid $435 for a 2-day park hopper this last time. And the best part is you don't have to use these consecutive, like now, if you buy one, then you've got to use it within 2 weeks from what?
Is that for California?
I know that, I'm saying, my wife's like, it's only for California. It's like, yeah, but we could buy it and give it to you. And so, you can use it at any time in a 5-month period. And they've never done that. And they've opened it to Northern California, which is, it's always been a Southern California thing. So this would be the time to come out, O'Dowds. So.
I hear you, but in 61 days, I'm heading to Orlando for our next trip. 2-week excursion, week in Orlando, and then 5 days at sea on a Disney cruise on the Disney Fantasy. That'll be fun.
Yeah. What is that?
We fly out the 13th of February. Okay. And so I'm missing 2 shows. And then, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But it's an interesting time. It's going to be a busy time.
A couple in February, but they won't be those. So we should be okay. Because we don't want to leave Tunny and Ray to themselves.
Well, because they're just going to not watch The Witcher or something. We'll see. Okay. So let's talk sports. Let's talk about the biggest story in sports going this week. And that is, of course, the Sherrone Moore story over at the University of Michigan, which I think is going to lead to a monumental shakeup across the University of Michigan at large, as this is about the 3rd or 4th significant scandal that has happened in University of Michigan athletics under the watch of its current athletic director. And to say that this thing, the way this story progressed was horrific, right? So, like, I remember seeing the news. Sherrone Moore has been fired with cause and thinking, oh my God, did they commit another like academic scandal? Was there more sign stealing? Like what happened here? And when that news first breaks, most people are like, they're not sad that a guy lost his job because Michigan is one of the kind of quote unquote bad guys in college sports, like in college athletics. Are some guys or some programs that people like Notre Dame is another example. Kings of losing the PR argument, right? Or PR story right now. But then this Sherrone Moore story keeps developing. And so it goes from that. Then you learn it was because of an inappropriate relationship with a staff member to Sherrone Moore is incarcerated or he was in custody because he allegedly went to this woman's like apartment or house and threatened to kill her and himself. And then, you know, it's now coming out that Michigan was aware of something going on between these two as far back as 6 months ago and investigated it then, and nobody came forward. And then this woman came forward and literally the next day they fire Sherrone Moore. It's a mess. It's a dumpster fire. And the, you know, if you are a person celebrating what's going on to the people side of this, I don't have a good feeling for you as a person, because this is horrible. Whether it's a man dealing with some severe mental health problems, which clearly he's dealing with some severe mental health shit, to a wife and 3 children who are now probably going to be without a dad for significant, you know, for a while, and then divorce is, God, I mean, I'm assuming that's happening. Or the woman who was involved, the other woman, the executive assistant, and I'm not going to say her name. It's an alleged name, but everybody's throwing it out there. Like, her life gets turned upside down with all of this. You know, it doesn't matter, by the way, those of you who are like, I've seen this, people decrying this woman being like, well, why'd she come forward now? He must have done. Doesn't matter. She came forward. And as an executive assistant who reports to someone, that is a power dynamic by definition of Title IX and sexual harassment that, like, she was being, like, that's a, like, she was not in a position of equal power within a relationship, even if it's consensual, because that dude has power over her job. So, like, for those of you, it is. And I know this, I've studied this pretty extensively in working in, like with our Title IX side of it. They're like, the Title IX and our and lawyers from the university side, they're yeah. When they pursue that stuff, like, it doesn't matter if, you know, Dave and I got together, if I work for Dave.
What are you trying to say?
You sexy, bald, middle-aged beast, yeah. You. But the point here is like, vilifying this woman for going forward and being like, she ruined Sherrod Moore's life. No, Sherrod Moore ruined Sherrod Moore's life. I also don't know if you are a coach, a football coach, that you want anything to do with the University of Michigan football program and athletic department until the University of Michigan sorts itself out. And it is now under an independent investigation because of this. And this is probably three scandals too late. But here we are. Because Michigan's going to be in the market for a new athletic director. They're going to be in the market for a new coach. There's probably going to be a lot more fallout to come from this. And it's ugly. Lawyer, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, clearly, like you said, there's some mental health issues going on here. There's suicidal ideation going on here that they've talked about. There's an inappropriate relationship. And at some point, was it consensual? Probably. I mean, maybe it sure seems that way, that there was a consensual relationship.
Allegedly, the woman was pregnant.
With his kid or with somebody else's?
With his kid. With his
My
kid.
My goodness.
There are allegations he was door dashing Plan B to the athletic department offices. Again, allegations, wow. Not sure, not saying that's what happened, but it's gross.
Right. And, you know, I mean, sexual harassment, it comes in, I mean, people, I think, like, you know, people who aren't in your position or like lawyer, not, you know, non-lawyers think sexual harassment is just like one flavor. It's like, nah, man, it's closer to Baskin Robbins. There's a lot of different flavors of sexual harassment that goes on. Some of it's quid pro quo. Some of it is hostile work environment. There's all sorts of things that are going on with the fact that she complained after the fact doesn't change the fact that something in their relationship changed. You know, if he was coming out and saying, I was never involved with this woman, this is all retaliatory, that would be a different story, right? But that's not the case. That's not what's being said here. There is no denial of this relationship. It's just that, you know, why is she coming forward now? Well, something has happened that made her think, like, I need to come forward right now. It is similar to, you know, whistleblowers, the same question you can ask, you know, why are you guys coming forward now? Something has happened that made them think, hey, I need to, you know, I need to say something or do something. So yeah, it's an absolute mess of a situation. But yeah, you're right. Michigan is just, since they won that, I mean, and wedged in all this is a national championship, you know, with Jim Harbaugh, and God knows what the hell they did with all this stuff. But it is, like you're saying, it is a disaster. It's a blight on Michigan for sure. But, you know, tangentially involved is, of course, the Big Ten and the NCAA at the worst possible time, because you're about to start the college football playoff right now. And you don't want all this negative attention drawn on this horrific situation. How many lives can one dude ruin in one shot? Right. I mean, I'm counting up at least his wife, his kids, this gal, his unborn child who's comes into the world behind the eight ball immediately. Terrible.
Yeah. Ward Manuel, who's the athletic director of Michigan, like, his job is toast. It's gotta be toast. Like,
you gotta
just
get
no
rid
way
of him.
To describe it. So, and I don't, you know, and it's funny because Michigan has one of the two best basketball teams in college basketball right now. They're beating the doors off of everybody. And that is a story in college basketball, but nationally, nobody's talking about the college, about their basketball team. They're talking about this football scandal. So it's going to be gross. I don't like it. I feel terrible for those kids that went to school there. Bryce Underwood's another person, the starting quarterback for Michigan. There's a lot of question about what he'll do, whether he'll stay or not. Allegedly, he's a Michigan guy, but I think it all depends on the coach. If you don't get the right coach, you're going to be in trouble. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Ward Manuel even gets to lead that, start that search, let alone hire it. And for those of you thinking that Kalen DeBoer is going to jump ship from Alabama to Michigan, again, don't hold your breath. If I were anybody of any salt, you ain't touching the University of Michigan football head football coaching position until that athletic director situation is resolved. You shouldn't, because that relationship's dangerous.
And like you're saying, once that is resolved, then sure, Michigan is going to be a preferred destination. Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. But
blue blood program,
yeah, you got to get that whole AD situation sorted out, because that's just. It's like, yeah, I mean, I draw the analogy to the Commanders / Redskins, whatever the hell you want to call them, with Daniel Snyder. You know, you weren't going to attract talent or the top level coaches until you did something about that situation, you know, and the season notwithstanding, they're on the right path.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to, on that note, there will definitely be more to come on this story. We know it's going to happen. We are going to take our commercial break, though. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that I think was perfectly uplifting. And Dave is nodding, so it sounds like we'll be in agreement. But we're going to talk. We're going to say goodbye to the career of one John Cena when we come back. That's right. A little sports entertainment on our sports podcast. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot for all of your chair shot swag needs. The holiday season is upon us and you are running out of time to get that shirt shipped to your loved one in a timely fashion. This is December 16th. You got 9 days. You better hurry. I gotta mute myself.
Wait, December 6th? Is that what,
That's what I said. 9 days to reach the 20.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Sorry, I know gotcha. I was choking on my own excitement to talk about these sweet, sweet t-shirts.
Choke you on your own time, damn it. No, just
it happens to the best of us. Thank you for your patience, everyone. Okay, so as we sit here, recording on a Sunday, Saturday night's main event has come and gone, and the professional wrestling world is much of the rest of popular culture said goodbye to John Cena. You know, last night he wrestled his final match against Gunther. It went the way that my good friend Greg DeMarco predicted, the way that I expected John to lose. I figured he would, for the first time ever, tap out. It's not the first time he submitted in a match, by the way, folks. Greg and I looked it up. He submitted a few times before he started doing the never give up shtick. There were some times where he tapped out to Kurt Angle twice, He Who Shall Not Be Named once, and Jericho once. He tapped out to the wall. So it's not that he has never submitted before, but this was a full circle, very much like Andre the Giant had never been slammed until Hulk Hogan slammed him. John Cena had never tapped out until he tapped out for the fifth time in his WWE career. And I'm going to go back and rewatch the whole show. Because I was at a wedding last night. One of my dear friends got married, so I was there. Did not see the match in its entirety. Got home, got there in time to see most of the match on Peacock. I had a few streaming issues. I just think that the load of people on the stream made it a little challenging at times. But it was a very entertaining show. It was a lot of fun, and the match ended absolutely the way I thought it should. And there's a lot being made out of John's face, smiling as he tapped out. Whatever. Like, that was a man who was satisfied with his career, has seen it all, done it all, and he's finished. And he was happy. That was the picture of a man who was happy. So, you know, today, as I'm going through the toxic sludge that is social media, and the number of people, by the way, the Washington, D.C. fans, fuck you all for going into business for yourself and acting like Triple H had any, like, that he somehow screwed John out of a victory. Like, John Cena ended his career the way wrestlers end their career, putting someone else over and leaving your boots, or in this case, shoes in the ring. It's what you do. And to act all sanctimonious because you wanted the Sting farewell, but got what John wanted, why that was a smile of satisfaction. To me, it was great. It was poetic. And Dave, I'll just comment on the match. We do have a third in here if he wants to be on the studio and talk about it too. Ray Cash has joined the chat. I don't know if he can hear us. Or
what's up, y'all?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Ray.
Turn off that echo cancellation, but we'll be all good.
Is he echoing? Let me turn it off.
Thank you. Sorry.
Well, can't be done while we're recording. That's what I'm getting the message. Anyway, it's all Ray's fault, but that's okay.
We still love it.
I thought the build up to the whole thing was quite good. The last rundown, that sort of thing. Yeah, there is that echo in the back.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just keep going.
I thought, you know, like you're saying, I didn't have that big of an issue with the way that, you know, I think when Tony and I recorded Friday night, I thought, you know, John's going to lose this match. I didn't think he would tap. I thought there'd be just like he would pass out. And they did a really good job with that whole thing with him fighting out of this thing and continuing fight. And they got me. I'll be honest, Pat, there were a few places during that match where I started thinking, John might win this thing the way that they were playing it up, you know, where he kept fighting out of this thing and kept, you know, powering out, and they kept doing all the spots and the fans chanting Super Cena. But at the end, like you're saying, at the end where he taps out, he's got that little tiny smile on his face as if a guy saying, I did it. You know, I got to the end. I got to the point I wanted to be at. It's a statement moment for Gunther that could, I'm not going to say it's completely analogous to where, you know, when Brock ended the streak, but it's in that kind of realm of discussion, because it's going to put Gunther over, and it's a much more significant victory for him than the bullshit with Goldberg. That's for sure.
And there's a lot of talk now that he's going to become the next like career ender guy, like, you know,
that's fine.
It's totally fine. Like, if they want him to be the legend killer,
he could end Jericho's career when Chris returns. That's fine. You know, let him do that as well.
There's talk of him ending Brock's career. There's talk of him beating Brock. There's talk of him beating Jericho. There's talk of him ending Orton's career, which that would be a passing of a torch in a sense if you really wanted to do that way. So
yeah, but I thought I thought the match was well. My wife, I talking to her because she sat down and watched it. She wanted to watch it, and she was just like, her take on it was John really got his ass kicked most of the match. I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it was a very physical match for John. He took it at 48 years old. He took the beating from Gunther. He made Gunther look great. Yeah, the stuff at the end with the fans chanting, it's like, look, that was not Triple H's decision to have John tap out. That was John Cena's decision all the way. And Triple H went to John and said, how do you want to go out? And John said, this is how I want to go out. And Hunter was like, cool, I'm cool with that. So anybody thinking that Hunter screwed over John Cena? No, that's not how it went down. That was John's idea. He wanted to go out that way. He went out the way he wanted to go out. The video tributes were really awesome to see, leading in some really good music around, Temper Taps, Sweet Disposition, I Live by One Republic. And I loved at the end of the night when Triple H dropped that last video with the One Republic song. And just John watching the video, and the longer it got, you could see it finally starting to get to him at the end, where he finally started to break down a little bit. That was beautiful. The whole thing was well done. He is, and the episode of Attitude of Aggression will be coming out, and either today or tomorrow. And of course, a lot of people heard it on the live stream. You can get in the debate as to whether he really is the GOAT. But I've said several times over the last few episodes of my own show that I used to not think that, but this last run that he's had has really kind of changed my mind about John Cena in a lot of ways. And he's absolutely in the discussion of that greatest of all time discussion. Whether you love the guy, hate him, or indifferent, I think you cannot ignore his legacy. And he will be missed. There's no doubt about that. He will be missed.
Well, first and foremost, I apologize if there's an echo. Sorry, I jumped in the middle of a call. I text Kyle, those of you remember my brother Kyle from The Outsider's Edge, that I looked at Cena tapping in the manner he did with a smile on his face as him accepting his fate. And it was his honor, and he was proud to tap. And Gunther passed the test in his eye. I took the whole Last Time Is Now tournament as essentially, it's a bit selfish and the honor to fight him for his last match, but I took it from his perspective as him testing the next person who's going to take his spot. Gunther unequivocally passed that test, and Cena was very happy to tap, realizing I did my job, company's good.
Ray, can I ask you something? Do you think that was up in the air as to whether he would tap or just pass out, and it was John's call as to whether he would tap or if they would just do the pass out?
1,000,000%. So to touch on it real fast, I know I don't want to belabor the point. I know a lot of people are talking about it goes against his mantra to never give up. He didn't give up. Giving up would have been him tapping immediately. He fought and fought and fought, and he gave every bit he could until he had nothing left. That's not giving up. It's no different than those Stuart Scott adage, you don't lose to cancer because you die. He didn't give up. So stop that nonsense. You were talking about Cena as the greatest of all time. You guys know me very well to know that as much as I love the sport, I've loved wrestling since I was a 6-year-old child. It's consumed me. I've been obsessed about it forever. Enjoy tremendously the in-ring product. I was going to be a professional wrestler. I have taken bumps in a professional wrestling ring. That is the least most important part of the sport. Anybody can learn to take a bump. Anybody can learn to run the ropes. The things that make wrestling great, the things that make it something that we remember, something that my brothers on this call who are in their 40s and their 50s that still talk about it and do shows about it and spend money on it, is the way it makes you feel, is the way it affects your life in ways you'll never really realize until you're old and you're self-actualized. John Cena has been a guy who in my entire life, because in 2002, I was a freshman in high school, So I've watched this dude my entire formative years. Has worked harder than everybody. Has been more loyal than anybody not named Paul Levesque or Bart Calloway. And they started in different companies. He didn't. Has done everything that companies asked of him to do, good, bad, or indifferent. Has put over everybody that companies asked him to put over. Has never had any type of issue or scandal, unless you want to say him trying to propose to Nikki Bella at WrestleMania. But what can we do about that, right? And on top of that, Make-A-Wish Foundation, promos, the way he represents the company, the way he's represented fans, telling us Bin Laden died. Like, he has been the greatest role model from a professional wrestler we've ever had in the world, where we've had people who have been terrible role models. And pardon the pun, Bailey's the role model, you know, pardon the pun, she's a great one too. But, and on top of that, he still put on bangers in the ring. So I saw another tweet online that really hit me, and it said, and basically said, it's weird being able to see someone we watched our whole lives retire and they're not broken down or they're not fighting for an extra payday. They're just walking away because they're done. We have very rarely got a chance to see that in our lifetimes, especially somebody at this. Ric Flair is still trying to get in the ring. So for me, truly, thank you, John Cena.
Well said. And just to kind of put a bow on all this, because we are coming up against time, and I know there's every single wrestling podcast you listen to this week is going to talk about John Cena saying goodbye. What, like, you know, Monday Night Raw, people are going to react to whatever Gunther says on Monday Night Raw, because I'd be willing to bet Gunther appears on Monday Night Raw because he just ended John Cena's career. So I
Roman Reigns at the 33 level.
Like, it's that's
and
what's
he should come
happen.
Out and say, this is my yard now.
Now, Pat Quinn, Patrick O'Dowd, you got me so frustrated as I was trying to wrap up the show that I just said my real last name. Thanks.
Way to
throw me out of my game. But for those of you who are like, this is a sports podcast, why are you talking about this here? You know, name a football team in the NFL that didn't say goodbye to John Cena yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very interesting to me when you talk about transcendent athletes that, you know, we know about John Cena in the ring, but sports franchises, the Guinness Book of World Records acknowledged John Cena. Like, he was a worldwide news story, and I don't think that's hyperbolic. Like, I think you could just see all over the place that everybody and their brother in the world of entertainment and in sports was paying attention and thanked John Cena. And that is all you need to know about why we would talk about it here on the Four Corners podcast. So, all right, we do have to wrap this up. We have another podcast to get to. We are going to make PC Tunney sad, I think is what happened yesterday. It's kind of what went on. So before we get out of here, thank you, Ray, for jumping in. Tell everybody where they can find you on this, on the networks, whatever you want them to, however you want people to find your stuff.
So I have my conciliary. I don't have my advocate, so I don't really have a choice. I'm online. It's Ray Cash. Maybe you'll find me. Maybe you won't.
I don't mind if you just put over whatever shows you do. Like, you don't have to put, you know, handles
okay,
out there.
Okay, watch this. Catch me on Mondays at Bandwagon Nerds. That's about all I'm doing right now.
Funny. David Ungar.
I was just going to tell Ray, man, I was going to plead attorney-client privilege and not give your social media information out there, but outed yourself anyway. So in one episode, Ray gives social media, Pat gives his government name. It's a hell of an episode here. You can find me on social media, on my own, on X at AttitudeAgg, that is at AttitudeAgg. Go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression, and check out the YouTube channel. So that's all I got, man.
Cool. And you can follow me on the socials at Wrestling Realist, that is at WrestlingRealist, and catch me every Monday, Tuesdays, and occasional Wednesdays on the Chairshot Radio Network. Monday on Bandwagon Nerds, Tuesdays talking sports on the Four Corners podcast, and Wednesdays talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco on the Greg DeMarco Show when we feel like it. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week right here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer.
Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.